Hello and good day. My name is Michael Rojas. I am the principal and founder of the Abundant Wellness Provider. And today I am here interviewing Shell Mettelson. Shell is the founder, a career counselor, and a career coach of Your Passion to Career. Shell, good day.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Shell. So, Shell, I find this really interesting because it's something that is very common, it seems to be, but yet I know very little about it. And so I'm hoping that you can, you know, share with us today about ADD. And so that's my first question to you. You know, what is ADD?
Great question. And I'm going to answer you based on a definition of attention deficit disorder by Bonnie Minshew, who wrote a fabulous book called Self-Coaching Workshop for Attention Deficit Disorder Adults. And it's one that I'm reading myself and I love and I'm going to be recommending to all my clients. And her definition is basically that the very phrase attention deficit disorder might better be called attention inconsistency disorder or attention difference. ADD is actually a condition involving attention, understimulation, disinterest, and boredom. And that means that ADDers have a hard time focusing when whatever they're doing is not very interesting to them at that moment. The two major types of ADD are hyperactive and inattentive. And by the way, I'll talk a little bit about this. I'm the inattentive type. Simply put, the hyperactive type ADDers need physical activity and have trouble sitting still, while the inattentive type ADDers require mental activity, which results in daydreaming and a host of other characteristics. Some experts have also defined types that combine these two qualities or add in other conditions such as anxiety or oppositional disorder. I could go a little bit more into that, but I just wanted to give a brief definition so that anybody listening can identify themselves in one of the two categories,
Thanks for sharing that, Shell, because that's really interesting. You know, that's the first time I've heard it explained like that, and it's interesting to see that there's like two different primary ways in which attention deficit disorder presents itself.
So right. They're both exactly the same. ADD and ADHD are pretty much the same. Again, the one with the H is more physical and the one with just the ADD is more mental. So that makes it easy to sort of separate the two.
Okay.
And I'll tell you a little bit about me. When I was the ones with, I was the inattentive ADD, and as a child, of course, in those days, there was no diagnosis for ADD, but I did a lot of daydreaming and doodling, and I wasn't hyperactive. I was hyperactive in my mind, and that went unnoticed for my whole life. And when that happens, you kind of get pushed a little bit into the background, and so if you're not doing so well in school, you're having some problems, it's just, well, you need to study harder, you need to do this a little bit more, try a little bit of that. But for me, I think I missed out on a lot of opportunities because it was unrecognized. Of course,
yeah,
I was much, much, much older. Go ahead.
You know, and one of the things that's coming across for me is, you know, in society, there are so many ways in which we have fear and shame instilled within us. And in listening to this, I could see where someone who has these characteristics would really feel some kind of shame and therefore would even become more of an introvert, which would make it harder for others to be aware of what's transpiring.
Yes, and I think a lot of people that are characterized as introverts are inattentive ADD.
So I
think that explains it. It's not that everybody is, of course, but I think perhaps there is a significant percentage of people that just don't realize it.
Okay. And so what are some of the signposts of career attention deficit disorder?
Well, I coined the term career ADD for the work that I do because I do work primarily with people who have ADD or ADHD or have what I call a career ADD lifestyle, which means a lifestyle of distractions and with many of the characteristics that I'll describe in a second, but essentially have a lot of these characteristics, and even though they may not be diagnosed, and some people aren't diagnosed. So if you hear yourself if you hear that you have some of these signposts or characteristics, you'll know that it may be something you want to check out or a little bit further, perhaps, and get a diagnosis. So the things that the questions I ask around this are you in a job or a career where you find that others around you are annoyed with you, but you can't figure out exactly why? Are your relationships at work suffering in general? Are you getting called on the carpet in your job by your supervisor or manager or your coworkers, and you can't figure out why? That's a big key. Are you taking work home because you can't focus on getting it done at work, too many distractions, or you're bored most of the time? Do you keep making little mistakes and then big mistakes over and over again, and you can't figure out why? Do you feel overwhelmed and increasingly unhappy, even distraught at work? Do you job hop when you feel bored with your job? Are you distracted and have trouble getting started on projects at work if they don't interest you? Do you have trouble with authority figures in your work? Do you find yourself daydreaming on the job? Do you find that you can only focus on work that interests you, and when you do leave other tasks undone, you again get called on the carpet or you have trouble finishing them up? So many people with ADD leave a lot of tasks undone.
Wow. So I know that you have identified this as being a career coach for attention deficit disorder individuals that are either in their career or pursuing their career. But it also sounds to me like this would apply to, to those of us like myself that are entrepreneurs. Because I would think, certainly those of us that do our own thing, we do our own thing for a number of reasons, and certainly, could be some of those reasons that you have just shared.
Well, I have a theory that most people with ADD or ADHD will likely end up working on their own or in some capacity on their own, even if it's part-time working at home or working as a contractor where you get to make your own hours and have a lot of flexibility. I find that the working conditions are so important for the person with ADD. So that's where you find a lot of entrepreneurs with ADD.
Wow.
Think about Richard Branson.
Right.
I could name a lot of people who are famous people with ADD and luckily have others that are supporting them along the way. And I think about my brother, and I think about people who are married to non-ADD people who can be extremely creative and get everything done because their spouse is extremely organized and can help them do that. I would say
that's interesting.
Go ahead.
No, that's interesting you say that, because I was thinking about that. I could see to where, ADD wouldn't be with someone who's, trying to start their career or someone who's at a low-level career or even mid-level career. I could see that this applies to everyone, and certainly people that have what we perceive as high achievements or high amounts of success.
Absolutely. There's extremely successful people, and some of the biggest movers and shakers in the world have ADD.
Right.
You can just look it up and you Google it, and it'll give you a list of those people, including JFK, several presidents, Benjamin Franklin, Albert Einstein.
I guess that makes sense because, we are busy being this creative expression. So, and for us to be this creative expression, it means that we're kind of outside of what's defined as the norm.
A little bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say I'm a lot, I personally am a lot outside of the norm.
Yeah. So you specialize in career ADD. Can you tell me something about what and why you chose this niche or this area of specialization?
Well, I'm going to tell you, but I'd like for the audience to look for similarities in your own situation as I explain mine, because
okay.
I am not that different from a lot of you. My history is that, and I'll start from when I was in my 20s as a secretary. First of all, can you imagine a person with ADD being a secretary where you have to be very organized and
take
direction?
Yeah, not a good thing.
No. But I could type like crazy I could do shorthand, and I can do all these things that were the skills that employers were looking for at the time. So I had the skills. I just didn't have – I had ADD, so I was very disorganized. I made a lot of mistakes. I had issues with authority figures. I worked for a lot of lawyers, and you can imagine where that led me. And I made all these – I would make all these mistakes and not even realize it. I would make copies of things, and I'd come back to give them to my employer, and he would or she would say, you should have made like 5 more copies, or you copied the wrong thing. And I'd scratch my head and go, what? I couldn't believe that it happened. It was almost like I was outside of my body. I had no idea that I was making these kinds of mistakes. Well, here's the funny thing. I was probably fired from 10 jobs as a secretary in my 20s. And I worked as a temp, which made it easier because I could go to different places and wasn't at any one place for any length of time and still kind of get the work done. But it was so frustrating for me my self-esteem took a huge hit because I thought, if I can't do this work, what's wrong with me? How can I do any work?
Right.
So little did I realize at the time I was in the wrong job. So ask yourself now, if any of this stuff is occurring for you, am I in the wrong job? I have to tell that to many of my clients. I have to say to them, it's not you. You are just in the wrong job. So reflect on that for a second. Finally, when I was around, I guess I was in my around 28 years old, I had a boyfriend at the time who had applied to all the top law schools in the country. And I remember he got accepted to Yale Law School. And I remember he finally looked at me because I knew we were going to go our separate ways. And I was really depressed. And it really wasn't about him leaving because we were kind of ready to leave each other. But it was more about what I was going to do with my life because I was seeing him really take off and being so clear about what he wanted to do. And he finally looked at me and he said, what do you really want to do with your life? And that was the very first time anyone ever had asked me that very simple question. Now I think, well, that's pretty common for parents to ask their kids or for any of us to ask ourselves. But at the time, it was revolutionary. It was just not done.
Right.
I had this, almost the moment when he said that, it was like I had this spiritual kind of experience where all of a sudden I knew exactly what I wanted to do and what I had to do, and that was I wanted to work with people in a counseling capacity. I had no idea how I was going to do that or what kind of counseling. I just knew that that was something I wanted to do. So I enrolled and was accepted in a master's program at San Francisco State University, which turned out to be vocational rehabilitation, which was the only program I could get into at the time. There were just so many millions of people who wanted to be in counseling programs. And I felt very lucky because they only took a few of us, and there were 26 of us, and I had no idea what vocational rehabilitation was. Well, it's a specialization in helping people with disabilities find the best work for them within their physical limitations. So I had to learn a lot of medical stuff, and a lot of the courses I despised because they weren't me. One of them was the assessments course. Another one was the medical terminology, and anything science related was just not me. But I got through it okay. So when I actually graduated from that program, I became a professional DRC, and I worked for, and nothing made sense to me till I became an intern, and I went into the program with the single idea that I just want to start working. I want to do some hands-on stuff. I'm now 29 years old. I've been on my own for a while. I just want to go to work, and the only way I could do it was to get through this program. So whenever the internships came up, I was like, yay, because now I can actually do the hands-on work and put everything together that I'm learning in these courses that made absolutely no sense. As you know, in academia, they don't really put things together for you. You have to go out and experience it. So when I experienced it in my internship, which was paid, by the way, and I got to be put on my high heels and my suit and feel like a professional for the first time in my life, loved it. I took to it like a duck to water. It was so easy for me. It came so natural. I got kudos. It was the first time I was actually praised nonstop for what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I worked for a company that where you had to bill hours. So they charged, at the time, it was like $65 an hour, which was a fortune at that time. And they paid me something ridiculous, like $8 out of $65. Yeah, but and they expected, you know, when you work for a big corporation, which it was a branch of a corporation, you have to do a lot of reports, and they expect you to organize everything, and they expect you to follow the corporate rules. Well, I did none of that. And the only reason they didn't get on my case was because I made them a lot of money, and because the insurance people I work with really liked me. I was getting people back to work. And I was working primarily with people who were injured on the job. I loved what I did, and the clients loved me, and the insurance people loved me. So I was able to get by, even though I did not follow any of the rules.
Wow.
I also managed to get people back into jobs that were a little bit more interesting than a lot of the other counselors. So because that was my opportunity to be creative. And for people that have ADD and ADHD, creativity comes very natural. Big picture thinking, seeing way ahead of time when things should get done. You and I talked about this earlier. It comes very, very natural. So I finally left Voc Rehab because I just got bored and frustrated with the system that I had to follow in California. I don't like following rules. So some of you may be able to relate to that one. There were just too many players that kept me from doing the job I wanted to do without it being a big hassle for me to do it. And it just wasn't working for me anymore. However, I had spent 10 years in that, and I had also, for the first time, took off and did my own business. And left the second company that I worked for because, for me, it wasn't about becoming a manager for that company. That would have been the end of me right there. Management and I do not go together. The next step for me was to do my own thing, and that's what I did, and I absolutely thrived in it until the system just became too difficult. I was no longer any good at juggling and placating others, which is what you really have to do in this work.
Right. Okay.
I had, you know, and I know you haven't heard the story, so I know it's probably overwhelming at this point, but I hope some of you can understand either from an entrepreneurial perspective or from just a big picture creative, not enjoying authority, being able to do something where you get kudos, but you're leaving big pieces out, which is the organizational detail aspect of it. That's me, and it still
okay.
is.
Wow.
I had my child late in life, and after I left, I was more focused on children. And I don't know what it was. I'm going to talk about this at another point, but I was very inspired. So inspiration came knocking at my door, and it never left until the job was done, and that was creating kids art, which is to this day an international art franchise system in 39 states and 15 countries, and maybe in more at this point.
Wow.
So I started that company. It was I like to say it was the it came knocking at my door, and it just stayed on the doorstep until it was done. And I just had single-minded focus. And many of you can understand that when you really, really enjoy doing something or you're really interested in it and it keeps pounding on the door telling you you've got to get it done, you've got to get it done. Well, that's what happened to me. And I was able to pull all the players together, and we started franchising in 2002. And from 2002 till 2009, I became immersed. And talk about hyper-focus. Some of you might understand what that is. That's when you focus on something so much, so intently, that time stands still. Well, I did that, and I had difficulty being a mom because of that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I would spend 12 hours a day just thinking about all the things that had to get done. So as I was in that position of being quote-unquote CEO, which I never really wanted to be, but I was, I realized that I was the one who was going to have to do, if anything was going to get done and the company was going to move forward, I was going to have to figure out how to do it, because I didn't have people working with me who were, I shouldn't say capable, I would say more that they didn't have the motivation that I did to really push things forward. It happened that during that whole time, all my ADD characteristics came screaming out, and they came screaming out primarily when I was working with other people. And for example, I worked with an assistant who, she was our main assistant, and she was almost anal in her detail orientation and organization, one of the most organized people I had ever met. And I would just call her up and say, look, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do this? And she, at some point, went screaming to the partners because she told them I had expected them, her, to drop everything and do what I asked her to do. Well, in fact, I didn't understand myself that I needed to give her, ask her, can you, what are your priorities? Can you do this? What time frame can you do it in? Give her all the details of it. My mind was going like 2 years ahead of time. And so it hurt a lot of people along the way. And
okay.
I think you may not be able to understand the CEO aspect of it or the founder aspect of it, but think about when you're working with people and you are in charge of a project or somebody asks you to do something, and you already are thinking way ahead, big picture, and you're just screaming to get it done, and you're kind of, it's like a bull in a china shop. You're just running people down to try and get it done, and everyone else is feeling like you're not listening to them or you're not understanding what their needs are too. So
right.
It causes havoc. It causes craziness in the workplace.
Yeah. No, I can absolutely relate to that, because I'm thinking back in my early career, in my early 20s, of being like that, of being hyper-focused and having really great results, but but being the bull in the china shop kind of thing. And interesting to hear you say it and put it in that perspective, because it helps me to gain clarity on what was transpiring with me back when I was in my mid-20s. So
it all makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. So
go ahead.
Yeah, no, and I just wanted to ask you a question of, so why is it not only important but essential to get help in gaining crystal clarity in one's career direction?
Well, have you ever heard the term analysis paralysis?
Yes.
Many of us suffer with this when we're simply stuck. So the first steps are to clearly define what your preferences are in various aspects. And as Richard Bowles, who was my mentor, and he's a person that trained me in the process that I use, and I use a variation of it in my work, and I will forever use a variation because it's brilliant and it works. And what he says is to create a picture of your ideal job. Well, that's why it's important. It's because most people go into their work without a crystal clear picture of what they want. They haven't defined in every area of what makes up one's ideal work, what their preferences are. And they haven't prioritized those preferences and said, if I don't use these things or have these things in my work, things aren't going to go so well for me. Mm-hmm. And almost everyone does this. I mean, this is because I just started working with people with ADD in 2009, but before that I worked with everyone, and I still do. I work with everyone. This is just my area of specialization because I can relate to it so well. But it's so, this is the piece that's missing for so many people. This is why so many people are miserable, because they haven't taken the steps to clearly define their preferences and to look at it from a larger perspective and to say, if this isn't in the work that I'm doing, things are not going to go so well for me. It's kind of like, and it's also about getting the support to do that, because without that support, life happens in between. And it's easy to start in the process and then to fall off track very, very easily. And it's really important to get somebody to feed you back the information that you're coming up with so that you can keep checking in and to reflect back from a professional perspective. And that's what I do. That's what I love to do. And it's really important also to be honest with yourself. And you really don't have to have a clue of where to go next. But you do need to be willing to be open to a process that will help you clarify things and to invest in your success from a person like me or a professional who's neutral. And again, who can reflect back what you're coming up with, and perhaps put things in perspective so it all makes sense, like I said. When you do that, what happens is you start to trust yourself more and more, and then begin to trust your own inner guidance. And that's really how confidence grows.
Very interesting.
So without, anyhow, go ahead.
So what is the message you feel is most important to convey to the world about career ADD, attention deficit disorder?
Well, that's pretty simple. Those of us with ADD or ADHD must, and I put that all in caps, M-U-S-T, do what we love in our work. If we're not doing the work that we truly enjoy and that we are sincerely interested in at least 90% of the day, the chances are that we're not, whatever we're doing isn't going to work in our life. It's going to, you end up doing using all the characteristics that I mentioned in the beginning. So it's important to find passion by using the specific skills within a specific field and getting very clear about all that. And all of these things need to be identified so that our needs are met regarding the environment we're in, the people that we're working with, and who we're serving. Or we risk the consequences that could have tremendous repercussions that can impact our family, our lifestyle, our friends, and our, worst of all, our self-confidence. And the thing I also want to say is it takes guts to make the decision to take these steps. And that's why I have so much respect for the clients who seek out my services. I always tell them, you know, you're brave, and I really respect that you've contacted me and perhaps contacted other professionals to get some help here.
That just makes so much sense because, you know, what in listening to you, what I'm hearing is, you know, if we don't seek out the guidance and support and assistance, you know, that's always there. And it's so like having a foundation that is in quicksand.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
It is. And I think that's true of most people who are in jobs, miserable jobs, who are miserable every day. They don't look forward to getting up. They don't look forward to the week. They look at the clock. somebody talked about, I don't know, somebody who came up with some program to figure out how many minutes, hours, seconds before their retirement. How sad is that?
Oof.
It was an actual program that somebody had come up with.
Interesting.
So, to me, the thing about us warrior spirits, as they call us, is that we tend to take more risks. So the difference here, if you get the support and you really go for it, is that you're getting support that's a calculated risk. It's not a risk for risk's sake.
Okay. Very interesting. So how do you feel you can help people with career ADD?
Well, in the work I do with clients, I provide a structure, and that's a structure that allows for the expansive ideas that we have, all the creativity that's necessary for career ADDers to really define an ideal direction. I would say that I'm most skilled in providing not only ongoing support and coaching in this area, but I'm intuitively knowledgeable or capable in helping people to take the next steps. That just kind of comes to me with little effort at all. It's just something that I intuitively know and I can help clients with. And it's not always the same. It's certainly not the same for each person. Everybody's different. So the process is not a quick fix, not at all. However, what most people don't realize is that defining a career that can take you from loving what you do and then continuing to grow and expand throughout the years and making easy transition takes time, because it means exploring who you really are. So I don't give tests or assessments like the Myers-Briggs that compare you with random groups of people rather than comparing you with who you are and no one else. And I also like to say that the process is a spiritual one as well, because it allows the answers you receive to come from your source within, which my clients come to recognize as we work together, and they start to trust that source more and more. For career ADDers, tests don't generally work, or really for most people, because, again, they're removed from that source. So they tend not to stick when they take them. And there's nothing as powerful as coming up with the answers to your direction through a focused process that allows you to see and feel the exhilaration of knowing you're finally on the right track. I'd be happy to share some comments with past clients who actually got there.
Yeah. Well, you know, and before you do, what's coming to me is I could see that people would end up working with you for a duration of time, right? Because there's an unfoldment that they go through of self. Self-reflection, and then, you know, those aha moments and making those, you know, those shifts within that are then expressed outward in, you know, in their careers.
Absolutely, and that's why I do have a minimum of 12 sessions, but, you know, I'm very flexible with how that's handled. It's just the commitment needs to be there for the 12 sessions. And 12 is a minimum. I have a recommended 16, and believe me, those 16 go by very quickly. And things tend to stick when you deal with them at your own pace, and everybody has a different pace. So, it allows for all kinds of things to come up, issues with family, illnesses, life happens in between. Sometimes you're taken off track a little bit. And it just helps to really keep things on track and keep things going to where you start to build the momentum and really feel that you're getting there, and suddenly the aha hits. And when that happens and everything starts coming together, it's amazing the opportunities that occur for people. I've seen it happen over and over again. They start getting calls. They start from employers. They have more than one opportunity to choose from, a program comes up that completely fits their needs, all kinds of things. So it's really exciting work.
All right. Now, is there a way for people hearing this interview, Shelf, for people to contact you to learn more about your work and to actually engage with you?
Absolutely, yes. I have. If you found this interview, of course, that's my website, www.passiontocareer.com. I also offer a complimentary 30 to 45 minute career strategy session, which is really, when I say it's low key and there's no pressure for you to continue, I mean it. I love doing these sessions. I love talking to people and getting to know them and finding out a little bit about, you know, how people came to me and what their situations are, and that's just plain fun for me. So you can do that by just simply booking a session at www.shellmendelson.youcanbook.me and look at my schedule and just schedule the 30 minutes in and we're good to go. And I'll contact you. I have a little prep sheet that helps you focus in on what's really important. It actually helps you look at things from a different perspective almost immediately. So that's okay. One way. And also, you can call me at 830-237-2735 or just email me at shell@passiontocareer.com.
And can you give us the phone number one more time a little bit slower, because I wasn't able to write it down. So.
Certainly. 830-237-2735.
Okay, 830-237-2735.
Yes, great. And by the way, this is a cell phone, so you can text me as well.
Oh, okay.
It makes, sometimes it's a little bit easier if people text.
Okay. All right, and then the website, it's all spelled out, so it's www.passiontocareer, which is passiontocareer.com, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay, great. And so from your website, they can learn more about you, and they can also then book this complimentary session with you, is that?
Exactly, and plus you can read several of the blog posts that I've written that and get to know me a little bit that way as well.
Okay.
And see what services I offer. I have a new one now called Focus Brainstorming and Inspiration for ADDers 101 that I'm very excited about. And you can read more about that on the website.
Okay, perfect. Well, Shell, I thank you for taking the time today and for informing me and educating me and giving me myself some aha moments. So, again, thank you for sharing and for this wealth of information.
Thank you, Michael, and you're very welcome. It's been a pleasure. I've enjoyed it as well. Thanks.
All right. And to everyone listening to this, be sure to check out Shell Mendelson at passiontocareer.com, all spelled out, and phone number of 830-237-2735. Peace and blessings, everyone.